الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى. قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. وقد قال تبارك وتعالى في مكان آخر استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders, brothers, friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone for granting us this great opportunity of being seated in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of places, on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, and in this Mubarak month of Dhul-Hijjah, which we are still going through the days of Eid al-Adha. As we all know, Eid al-Adha consists of 3 days, with the first day which was yesterday, today and tomorrow. So alhamdulillah, this is really a Mubarak day, a Mubarak time. Such times we should take maximum benefit in connecting in these Mubarak times, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for abundance of istighfar and forgiveness, and linking ourselves up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are moments which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us opportunity to refresh our iman. As a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, al-imanu yazidu wa yanqus, that iman fluctuates. Sometimes our iman will be strong and high, sometimes our iman will be down. So these are moments and days of the year which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us opportunity to refresh and revitalize that nur of iman which we have in our hearts. We may have heard a lot of bayans already regarding the days of Dhul-Hijjah and the sacrifices of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is only apt just to highlight a few points of these great anbiya and to reflect and to remind ourselves of a few lessons which we take out of their sacrifices and out of their lives. As we know well the hadith, the incident when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to sacrifice his son Ismail alayhi salam, to slaughter his son. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, without hesitating, he approaches his son and he mentions the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his son. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, being a young boy, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعْيَةِ, that a young boy had reached the age of, he was just able to start running around and walking around. He's a young boy. When his father, Ibrahim a.s., instructs him, mentions to him the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without hesitation, without objecting to the least bit, he replies, "Oh Allah, if'al ma tu'mar, that do as you have been instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Respected elders and dear friends, we should ponder and think and try to understand what type of sacrifice is this for a person, a father, to slaughter his son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this instruction on to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his son, wholeheartedly, without thinking, without battering an eyelid, they were ready to carry out the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was not an easy instruction to follow, that the father must slaughter his son. So respected elders and dear friends, we as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the ummah, the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, we should ask ourselves that how do we apply this type of submission into our life? When a person is faced with any challenge whereby shaitan puts something in front of us, then how do we respond to those situations? Do we just give vent to our nafs? Do we give vent to shaitan? Or do we think of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, that how did they pass this great test which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their level of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala crowns the story in the Quran Sharif that from that time till the last day of Qiyamah, people will recite this ayat. People will practice upon this great act of sacrifice of Eid al-Adha, of sacrificing animals, commemorating and remembering the sacrifice of alayhi salatu wasalam. So much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved the submission of these two anbiya. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّوْا لِلْجَبِينَ. When they two, both father and son, submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He refers to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the act of submission. When we are faced, example, a common thing we are faced with in our daily life is we become angry, for example. We need to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many different ways of our life. A person becomes angry, a husband becomes angry to the wife or vice versa. A child becomes angry to his father. A boss becomes angry to his employee. How do we react? Do we just vent out our anger? Do we just attack them and start hurling abusive languages? Or do we immediately say, I need to submit to my anger, I need to submit to my to the nafs and shaitan? As-sabru inda sadamatil ula, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that at the time of anger, the true sabr is as soon as you have become angry and you are flared up with anger, that the time you make sabr. So we remember this great sacrifice of these anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, and we immediately do not give vent to our anger. For example, if we see all this marketing going on today, it's so easy to purchase a vehicle. This nice, smart vehicles that is being advertised everywhere today. So easy, a person may just earn a mere 10,000-12,000 rand salary showing in his bank account. He takes his 3 months bank statements to any car dealer. He will drive within 2-3 hours or half a day, he will drive out of the dealership with a brand new vehicle, a 300,000-400,000 rand vehicle. But how do we submit in a case like this, respected elders and dear friends? It is so easy just to sign those documents, which any interest-bearing transaction is haram in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are going to sign those documents and it is an interest-bearing transaction, we are waging war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are waging war with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So do we just give vent to our nafs and to shaitan and say, you know what, I need to drive this car because it is something which I want to give vent to my egos and my passions and my desires, and we forget the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we sign the document and thereafter we are living under the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do we rather submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn ourselves away from that transaction, and then we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist us in ways which we had least expected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still grant us that vehicle, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still make means of transport for us because we had submitted to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most difficult time to submit to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when we are all alone. When we are all alone, whether it may be a youngster, middle-aged, old man, when we are all alone lying in the darkness of the night, with that smartphone, and that is the time where shaitan throws himself at us from all directions. It was his promise. He's going to attack us from all directions, from the front, from the back, from the left, from the right. He will attack us in different ways. And then we are put to the test, and these haram intentions or these haram opportunities are in front of us just by a click of the button, and then a whole world of haram will open up in front of a person. But that is the time where we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Do not even come close to zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, do not commit zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not come close to zina. Coming close to zina meaning, looking at zina, thinking about zina, committing zina with the hands, committing zina with the mind. There's so many different ways of zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. It is filth. It is absolute filth. So at this time, respected elders and dear friends, do we give vent to our nafs? Or do we think of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we abstain from that? Respected elders and dear friends, this is the lesson that we take from these two great anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, the lesson of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when we are faced in the daily lives with different challenges whereby we are able to break, or whereby we may break the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and violate the laws of Sharia, then we need to turn away from those avenues. We need to turn away from proceeding and carrying out that action. And we need to hold back, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when we hold back. And also, a great way of doing this, we just remember the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. That do, have we forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuously watching us? We need to understand this as a reality in our minds. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Have we forgotten that? Do we not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us? Example, if a person has an employee in a shop, for example, or he's working, he has some amanat with him which he needs to look after, and he sees there's a camera watching him always. That camera is always looking at him, because that camera, it may be a dummy camera, a fake camera which he is not aware of, but he will never ever do the act, he will never ever do anything wrong, because he knows that somebody is watching him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches us continuously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even has control. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches our thoughts. He hears our thoughts and He sees into our hearts. So we have to just always keep this in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all watching. And inshallah, this will assist us. We just used a few examples, but we can apply this into our daily life, where we need to always submit towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another lesson we learn from these days, these are the days of Hajj. The Hujjaj, they are between Makkah, Arafah. Hujjaj spend time in these, and days in these in Mubarak places. So if we see that only during these days of Hajj is Mina, Arafat, and Muzdalifah places to be visited and places of significance. If a person goes to these places in any other time of the year, it will be of no significance whatsoever. But during these days of Hajj, these are the places which holds great amounts of significance. So we are once again submitting to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we visit these places on these days, these Mubarak days of Hajj, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do it. It is a great ibadah to do it on these days, and that's why we are doing it. Like for example, on Arafat, the day of Arafat, the Hujjaj perform the Zohar and Asr during the time of Zohar. So, one is not allowed to perform, to make Jama'ah or to join between these two Salahs at any other time of the year besides the day of Arafat. Likewise, on the night of Muzdalifah, the Hujjaj perform the Maghrib and the Isha in the time of Maghrib. In the time of Isha. At no other day of the year are we allowed to do this, to perform Maghrib and Isha in the time of Isha, other than the night of Muzdalifah. So once again, we are doing this out of submitting ourselves to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us to do this, make Salah on Arafat and on Muzdalifah, like this on these days. So once again, this is a reminder that we have to continuously submit ourselves towards the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Hujjaj, they don the two pieces of cloth, which is called the Ihram. In the same way, when a person passes away, we will all have to don the kafan, the pieces of cloth which is called the kafan. So this is a reminder of death, that life is very short, and we will one day pass away, and we will enter into the everlasting abode of the hereafter. The Hujjaj, they stand in wukuf on the day of Arafat, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the millions, whether it may be a poor person, whether it may be a wealthy person, whether it may be young or old. People from all walks of life are standing in union in front of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all equal, standing up and crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, respected elders and dear friends, on the day of Hashr, when we all have to stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we have to give account to our deeds. We will all stand on one plains, on one land, as one ummah, as one nation. We will all stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, there won't be anyone who has a higher status than the other person. And everybody will have to stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give account of our deeds, of how we lived our life in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit us, inshallah, all of us into the gardens of Jannah. So this is again another reminder that on the day, that during these days of Hajj, how the Hujjaj stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Respected elders and dear friends, one of the greatest acts of submission for us as Muslims to practice on in our daily life is the act of istighfar and tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves istighfar and tawbah so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ That the best, that every man, he is a sinner. He's a great sinner. خَطَّاءُونَ He's a great sinner. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ And the best of these sinners are those who make tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually referring to this sinner as the best of sinners, because he is the one after committing a sin, after breaking the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regret, with nadam and regret, and he had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala terms that person as the best of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another hadith, At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamal la dhambala, that committed a sin and thereafter he had turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and istighfar, but that sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him from those sins. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that when a person commits a sin, then a black dot appears in his heart. And the more he commits his sins, the more darkness overcomes his heart and fills his heart up. And when a person makes tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases all the darkness and replaces it with nur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person when he makes tawbah and istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in a hadith Qudsi is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء, that person who had committed sins, so much sins he had committed that it had reached up to the clouds of the skies. Meaning to say, people commit sins and the evil and the darkness of that sin spreads throughout the place and the areas around him. So much sin that people are committing that this evil and the darkness of these sins spread throughout the world and it starts rising up until it reaches the clouds of the skies. Respected elders and dear friends, how much of sinning is that? How much of sinning can be a person committing sinning for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, a person committing zina for all these decades and all these years, a person abusing drugs, a person humanizing, a person involved in interest and riba, so many different ways of committing sin for so many long years. Some people become despondent. They say, Maulana, Mufti Saab, I've been committing zina for the last 30 years. I've been using drugs for the last 20 years. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever forgive me? Respected elders and dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is saying, لَوْ بَلَغَ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ, if your sins reaches up to the clouds of the sky, we cannot imagine how much sinning that is. ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي, thereafter my banda, you turn to me once sincerely, with sincerity and with great amount of regret, and you ask me for forgiveness. غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي, I will forgive you. I will forgive all those years of sins. And this won't even bother me. This is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected elders and dear friends, just as the Hujjaj, they return back, inshallah. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala bring them all back safely in the next few days. We make dua that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accept all their hajj. And we make dua to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to grant us a share of reward in their hajj as well. Just as they will return back, like the day kayawmin waladathu ummu, like the day their mother gave birth to them free from sins. In the same way, respected elders and dear friends, we can also share in this reward and this gift of being washed away from all our sins. We can also share in it by just submitting to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by turning to Allah. But after submitting to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, holding back from haram, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in istighfar and forgiveness, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely for forgiveness. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also wipe away all our sins. Just to end of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who mentioned in Ma'ariful Quran, the tafsir, under the ayat, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha, O believers, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make tawbah, a complete tawbah, a proper tawbah. Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentions three things when a person is making tawbah. Number one, he has to have that sincere regret, the nadam in his heart, that sincere regret. Without the regret, the tawbah is not accepted. Number two, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala mentions, he has to verbally make tawbah. Number three, it's mentioned that he has to remove himself from that place where he's making tawbah. And another condition is mentioned that he has to physically stop doing that haram action. So these are some conditions which a person make. But the most important is that person must have that sincere regret in his heart when turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making istighfar. And based on the sincerity of his regret, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq of understanding whatever has been mentioned. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.